So the people that like me, they fucking hate you.
And the people who like me hate you. So everybody, fasten your seatbelts. It's East Bay Insiders with Steve Tavares and Sean Wilson, starting now. Hey, we're back after a long, long break. After Thanksgiving, we're so, our tummies.
Holiday tummies. Food, man.
So full, man.
And we're back. Gotta get that in, man.
And you ate so much that you injured yourself. You can't even lift your arm. That's a lot of turkey, bro.
Yeah, man. I fought Uncle Charlie for the last wing on the turkey plate, and he still has strength in him for his old ass. So I'm having a hard time with his shoulder, man. It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but
we're gonna talk about Thanksgiving later. Yeah. But we got some stuff that's literally left on the table. Leftovers. I know the other one's called Thanksgiving leftovers, even though right. We had not eaten Thanksgiving, but whatever. It was quick, right? And
some real ganja you're smelling right there, man. That is like
You see how I pause and look around?
Man, wow. I was like, it's coming from somewhere.
Wow, man.
Like, I'm not a pot guy. You pot guy?
No, I never smoked pot my whole life.
You fucking lie.
I'm not lying. Not one, like, zero.
Seriously, no, I can't say that. I've partaked a little bit, but I'm like, no. It hurts my lungs. Oh, like, I can eat a little cookie, maybe a little gummy, smoking it just, and then I get stupid. Like, I just can't move. Like, I'm not like.
You just stare?
A musician that gets creative when they smoke and they're like responsible for like all the good tunes in the history of music. I just go the opposite direction. Like, I'm just the dipshit. I can't move. I want to eat everything in my fridge. I weigh 400 pounds if I smoke pot.
Wow. I don't even know how to smoke anything. That's the whole thing. I don't even know how to smoke a cigarette. I just think, I always say this, but I think if I were to give me a cigarette right now, I'd be like, what the hell is that guy doing?
Damn,
or would vaguely look like, what is, like.
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do? Don't drink, don't smoke. Goody Two Shoes from Adam Ant, dude. Come on. You got to partake in something. Don't off like the record, beer. Don't tell me you do coke.
Oh. No, I don't need, only a Tenawall. From high blood pressure.
No shit.
That's my own drug.
I got high blood pressure too.
Oh man, Atenolol.
Yep. I'm an Atenol guy.
They say that's an old drugs. Like, I don't care if it works. What the hell is the
problem? Oh yeah.
Probably costs like 2 cents. 2 cents a pill. But I don't even know how to do it. I don't even try. I think I would probably, my inclination, if you gave me a cigarette or anything, would be to hold it like a woman. Like, hello, I'm Greta Garbo.
You know? In the 1950s. Hello, Governor.
That's Betty Davis.
That's when smoking was cool, man. I watched a couple old movies during the break, man, and like they smoking in that era, in that generation, was a cool thing to do. They'd smoke at their office. They smoke in the airplane. They smoke in places like it's so intrusive, man. And people that didn't smoke was like the minority, and they're like, can you imagine sitting and be like, oh fuck, he's smoking again? I'm gonna get cancer on my face with all the smoke he's blowing in me.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I've been watching The Crown on Netflix about, you know, the Queen Elizabeth, and they're like, they're like in the 70s now, I think, even in the one in the 60s. Like, they're just with the princess, I don't know what her name is.
And they had the gloves.
Queen Elizabeth's, she had a glove, but she has a long little thing.
I don't know what that is.
Where you stick the cigarette in. She's like, Cruella de Vil. And they get on the airplane. They're going to San Francisco.
Back then, smoking was cool, man.
And I was like, it was crazy, man. I just can't imagine those times. Just
can't either.
And
just lighting it up at your desk.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do that. But, you know, I think if in certain situations, you know, it's not smoking, but in certain situations, what we're going to talk about, it's a good thing to light a match, light a candle.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
This has been on the table. How did we not? I called you up when this thing happened with Congressman Eric Swalwell, and I'll call you on the phone. Let's just do 10 minutes. Special edition. This is such breaking news.
Right. I know.
So this dude, he goes on Hardball, and he just rips it Like, I would only, I may not even do that just if I was just me with the cat and the dog.
You wouldn't do it if you're home by yourself sitting on the couch just whoop.
I mean, I would kind of think that that could be, you can get some anal cuts, anal rips. That was very loud. Now, the thing is, did he or did he not do it?
So you're siding on the side that he did do it.
Well, I was going to let you go first on your theories, but so let's break this down.
I'll give you my theory.
So he's talking about Ukraine. He's at the top of the show in Harbaugh, and he's like, "We're Congressman Eric Swalwell. What are you making this impeachment?" And he's like, "Oh, Ukraine."
The face that you make when you do that is much better than my. We're back.
Good morning, everybody.
It's way better than that. That's great. I wish people could see that. Okay, but go on.
And so he's like, "We're something Ukrainian," and this rips it. Elections. It was like the relief of all reliefs came out in that. Elections. Let's break it down. So what do you think happened? Which side are you on this called? It was either called hashtag Fartgate, and then the next day it morphed into hashtag Shartgate. So people, said, you know what? After listening to that 50 times, I'm going to say it's probably a shart. It was a shart. That a shart is a serious issue.
I can tell you it wasn't a shart.
But what do you? What do you
here's the deal. Here's
what side are you on? So,
look, man, I don't know if it was a cup sliding across the table. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was
that was excuse from Harbaugh.
Flatulence. Like, I have no idea. What I do know is he don't have a wife or a girlfriend like I do, because my girlfriend is the chief police of the Fart Commander Squad. And she always knows when I pass gas. Always.
Matter of fact, hits you on the shoulder?
Dude, I get up in the middle of the night. I exit my bedroom. I go right down the hall. I make a left into another bathroom. Shut that door. Shut the door to our toilet. And I'm peeing. And I go, I heard that. How did you hear that? I'm literally 60 fucking feet away. She catches me all the time. And then I'll do the flush the toilet and then let one rip like a little. You're gross. So she's like the commander of, she won't let me fart at all. So he needs a fart commander, squadron, police, battalion, chief, like my girl that makes me, I'm so nervous of doing it. I do it now while I'm in my car by myself. I save him till when I'm alone. And I just, now my car don't smell too good, but hey, that's what Febreze is for.
How long you been dating this young woman?
Who says she's young, man? Oh, a couple of years.
Younger than me. Couple years.
Younger than me too.
I mean, I'll admit, that's like early on. You like go on a date, and then you go down to the maybe down to the Chili's, yourself some.
That's a bad first date. You don't want to introduce your first date to flatulence. That comes over time.
Yeah, and it starts like backing up.
Yeah, and you're holding in. You're crossing your legs. Like, oh no. Well, the funniest thing is, like, when she does it, and I just heard her do it for the first time, like,
oh,
2 years. So,
breakthrough.
Yeah, it's a breakthrough. So when she does it, she goes, and it's pretty. It's like, I'm like, did you fart? No. Come on, you farted. No. And I go, oh, okay for you to do it. Okay for you to have a little fucking gas, but I can't pass one, and I go the extra mile away. But what's fucked up now is when you get old, and this is, I'll admit this, and all old people that are listening that are older, like, but after like 50, it's almost like you're ejaculate. When you're in your 20s, your ejaculate shoots 10 fucking feet and you're proud of it. Now it just kind of dribbles out. Same thing with a fart. Your farts, you should just blast one out and be done with it. But now they kind of just seep out and hang around. So that's why I get up out of the bed and go to another room, because I don't want to hotbox my poor girlfriend. And since you don't smoke weed, hotbox is when you smoke in a car with the windows rolled up. Same thing with a fart.
Okay, I read.
Good. So anyway, man, that's there you go. That's the deal. That's the truth on gas.
Well, although We very much appreciate that scouting report on you, but you're sidestepping the question.
Hey, man. Okay, look. If it sounded like a fart, it is probably a fart, man. I mean, he did interrupt his cadence, similar to when you're sitting on a couch and you raise one cheek to let it go.
Yes.
There was a cadence
that's
interference.
Science.
There was a cadence interference.
That's, I think, physics.
Is it?
Right? Because you can't. It's like when you sneeze, and I mean, you can't.
Right.
Like you're peeing and you sneeze. Like it's one
or
the other.
Oh, that's the worst.
You got to stop midstream and then sneeze and then start it up.
Otherwise, yeah.
It's not physical. You would just explode, I think. I don't know. Scientists out there. Maybe our
researcher.
Dr. Bill Quirk can help us on that. What would happen if you were to
simultaneously pressure? Pee and sneeze?
Yeah.
I know what happens, man. You shoot it to the floor.
He's going to we'll have we'll have the update.
For those inquiring minds.
He will. He's our own paid researcher. We very much appreciate Dr. Quirk.
So I think we both agree. That was probably.
Yes. The giveaway was that little, was the pause and the little, he raises up like, yeah. And then for me, it's that on that next word, it just like pops out because the pressure had came back. Right, the pressure went out, and your body regained the pressure, sealed the body up. And the thing is, I would have thought that it would have been more tighter.
Your fartology is way more deeper than mine.
but I kept doing like, hardball. They admitted it. They said it was a cop or whatever. They said it was them. And then, like, listen, here we go. I'm gonna take this. Here's my cup, beer.
Yeah, it's not
hear anything. So that's not believable. And I kept telling people like they're not even being factual, because you look at the tweet and they say there was a cup dragging on the table.
Right.
That was the sound. It also was with a link to buy Hardball branded cups. So they're just trying to sell in a funny way. They're just trying to sell merchandise. It wasn't factual. But if you see, I think. Yeah, man, he did. And I think the funniest thing on Twitter, you got to look on Twitter, man, because it was so funny. I mean, I laughed literally 50 times, different reasons, just not just watching it.
Right.
And then reading the all the tweets. And my favorite one is, and this was in jest, sort of, but it kind of had meaning. I thought the funniest one was like, they said, for somebody to do that, that's definition of white privilege, bro. White person go on TV and think they can just cut one loose and get away with it and then act like it didn't even happen. White privilege. Wow. But there was a bunch of them. It was like somebody put in Joe Biden like on Eric's shoulder, like smelling it. Like, you know, there's so many. The funniest thing. I just kept laughing. And there's one where somebody says, oh, yeah, I believe the cup theory. And then they got their coffee cup on the table
and
they were dragging it and they dubbed in, you know. All case closed. It was the cup.
It's cup.
They were trying to move the cup.
But at the end of the day, man, who cares?
Can you believe
everyone
that?
Farts though? Who cares?
But it's like a comeuppance, man.
Comeuppance?
Yeah, because then this guy, the next day, he was in a nationwide, worldwide, impeachment inquiry, hearings in the House. What is he? House Intelligence Committee. So can you imagine? That's on TV. The whole world. It was on the news, like in Australia. They were all laughing. In England, Piers Morgan was like, they're rolling. They're actually crying, laughing about that thing. The whole world is laughing, and this dude has to go in. The most serious thing. He walks in, and they're all like, "What the hell? Here comes the Ripper." Hey, Eric, did you have any beans? Stuff like that. It reminds me in high school, there was this kid, and in the middle of the class, he ripped one, and the teacher wasn't talking, but in the middle of class, he just rips one, right? He just
lets it go.
And then the girls are around him and goes, oh, that's sick. And he started to cover
bad
up.
Boys are back.
My beatboxing.
And they can never be back.
like, come on, man. It was a good idea. It wasn't believable, but Eric didn't even. That's amazing. That guy must be a psychopath, man. He must be the greatest liar in the world. I mean, not in just the people, but like person to person, like to his wife. No, I didn't. No, I didn't do it. I went to the grocery store, and he would be totally believable because he just ripped one on national television, and he just kept going.
Yeah.
He just kept going and going and going and going.
I used to have a professor.
That's impressive, but scary.
In school, in college, actually, and he was the most brilliant professor I ever had. He would he authored several books, two of which were in the presidential library. He very smart guy, and he would rip them in class. Like, I'm not even lying.
He would just laugh, right?
Let them go. Well, the first 20 times you're like, you laugh. And then, you know, when it comes to number 22, 23, you're like, what's going on? By the third day of school, man, there's no one in the first three rows. It's crazy. They didn't come with a cent, but he would just lecture and just and let them go, man, and rip them loud. And you, when you're in a position like that, you don't know what to do. You're like, he's not even acknowledging it. Like, he just keeps going. Back in 1942, just keep going. So yeah, man.
But where does this go now for Eric? Can he live this down?
Yeah, man. He can live. Come on, it's a fart at the end of the day. You want to weave it into a bigger? If he lied about his gas, he lied about this. Man, you fart, man. I just said, fuck it. I did it. Sorry.
But it just shows.
Had some chili.
You know, we're at the end of the year, and it's like you start wrapping up the whole year, and what is it, everything, you know, kind of look at certain things like, man, what a year, man. He goes from literally runs for president for no reason whatsoever. He runs for president. He gets out, and he's well known now as the guy who just potentially sharted on television.
I don't think he's sharted.
And everybody's, the whole world's laughing at him, right?
You only get the sharts when you get older.
So.
You lose your bowel movements and tightness, man. You kind of like sneeze, and it always happens with a sneeze. Like, oh, shit. Did I or didn't I? And then you're so relieved when you go to the bathroom, like, oh, I did not.
I know.
Ah, woo-hoo, man. Thank you. I don't need my dude wipes to. There are dude wipes. You use your dude wipes?
No.
Oh, they're the best, man. Make sure you're clean.
No. Oh, that's good.
They're called dude wipes.
But that what you just described.
They're sponsored, by the way.
It's kind of like dude wipes.
This episode by dude wipes.
Wipe it clean with dude wipes.
Wipe it clean and keep it clean. Dude wipes. No, this is a real product.
But what you just described, you know, oh, did I shart or not? And here's the big reveal. It's like Maury Povich. You know, it's like the big reveal.
Yep.
You are not the shart.
You did not shart. We had checked your underwear thoroughly. There is no remnants of fecal matter there whatsoever. You are good, sir. And we're back.
Hey, so here's one of my great segues here. So we talked about. You were right, man. Kamala Harris.
Oh yeah, man.
She's done. She was done quicker than anybody thought.
Yeah.
But let me talk. So we bring it back to Eric. Remember the whole thing they're saying, well, maybe he's going to run for president. He's going to get more people to know who he is. And then if Kamala Harris becomes the president, then he could run for that seat. He'd be perfectly decided to take that seat. Well, how's that looking now? The guy sharted, and so did she, her whole campaign. They both had, look at, not many places that somebody pointed to me like, hey, we should be honored, man. Not too many like small areas other than New York City.
Right.
Have two presidential candidates. We had two from this county, technically.
Right, right. Right. Yeah.
Kamala Harris, Eric Swalwell.
Well, she's from San Francisco
County.
And
the two of them out. First one, and could make me say the worst campaigns in the whole thing, right? There's a couple more that we never even talked about. Nobody ever talked about that ran for president. Right. But high profile, it was terrible.
Like,
so where's that? Where's that plan? If that was the plan, and I never believed that plan was part of Eric's calculus, I think his calculus was, I am absolutely, I love myself. Eric, you are beautiful. You can do anything you want. And he really thought he was going to be the president of the United States. It was part crazy. He had gone crazy.
You know,
so I don't believe that was his plan, but now how's that plan look?
Well, I mean, if that's the theory and that's the plan, then it doesn't look too good. But I think, look, if you don't have self-confidence and self-belief that you can be what you're running for, then you're done before you get out of the gate. I mean, half of the battle is having that confidence to put your name on the ballot. And then once you get there, you know, continuing to figure out what your next move is. So I don't fault anyone for running. I said it before. I don't fault him trying to make a run for president. I think it'd be kind of cool to say I actually knew someone that is the president. But at the end of the day, you know, both candidates fell short. I'm more surprised by Kamala. And I think the field just got too big. Too many people jumped into the race and didn't leave a lot of choices, and nobody decided to distinguish themselves. I mean, look at what Bloomberg did, man. He came in at the end of the day, right, just recently, and has the best commercials that any candidate ever had. Like, his commercials touch on every viable fucking point that you need to garner support from this country in order to be the next president. He just came out and did it.
Yeah.
His commercials are phenomenal.
I do, and if you watched football last Sunday,
oh my goodness, I could recite them.
Yeah,
they were well done.
But the first one, that's a longer one, I thought that was great.
I did too. I watched the whole thing. Normally, I get commercial fatigue, but I didn't see a squirrel. I watched the whole thing. Yeah. It's starting to rain. I just got a raindrop on my head.
Me too.
But you know, he just came in and did it, and no other candidate did that. And I say to myself all the time, why didn't they all go in there and just say, look, I'm gonna drop the mic. I'm gonna be the candidate.
Yeah,
and run everyone off.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you get to nitty-gritty, Mike Bloomberg's up there, who's a former Republican, things might be changed. But to come in and make the splash, I don't get the problem. He's using all his own money, man. Well, that's kind of a good spot. I understand his thing, man.
Yeah.
Since you don't have to kowtow to nobody, man.
Nope, you don't. Be your own guy.
You're not quote-unquote bought by anybody.
Rather him use his money than the Ukrainians' money.
Yeah.
Keep it at home.
But I, you know, what do you think of this idea now that's going out here that says, oh, we're the Democratic Party's so diverse and we had all these diverse candidates, and now at the end of the day it's just going to be a bunch of white
Biden people, Sanders, Warren, right?
Yeah, what's your take on that? Because I mean can we just put a little bit of onus on the candidates? I mean, Kamala Harris didn't do a good job. Nobody knew what she was talking about. She's wishy-washy. She's trying to be we're in a time when the progressives are rising, and she's going to be coming here talking about being a cop, top cop, man.
No, that doesn't fly.
Listen, she can't even get anything done, any support in the East Bay.
Right.
So how were you? Why did they even go to Oakland? Is my thing. That's my thing. I always thought that was kind of weird, knowing the nitty gritty of what she's about and knowing viscerally what that city's about, covering it for a long time.
Oh my goodness, man!
I mean, she does not match anything.
No.
She's Libby Schaff, and look how they reacted to her. Although not, you know, and at the voting box they supported Libby Schaff, but there's a progressives section. Yeah. Who just hates her, and they hate her. So she's gonna go and trot out downtown Oakland.
That's probably why she didn't gain any traction. Is her, you know, you can't run away from who you are, man. You just can't. If you're a liberal progressive, and you know, if you're a Republican conservative, it doesn't matter. You can't run and hide from who you are. It'll come out at the end of the day.
I think
she was too progressive and too liberal to get the country to follow her. And, you know, I'm progressive, I'm liberal, but I support, you know, police and fire. But at the same time, I understand that, you know, she has more of an electorate to deal with than just Oakland, right, and Berkeley.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to get outside of that box.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, and what people make a common mistake for when you run campaigns is they like to stay in their comfort zone and stay in their box. And oftentimes, man, that's when candidates lose their elections, is because they don't get outside of their comfort zone. They think that they can be one mantra to one group and that'll be enough to get them over the top, but 9 times out of 10 it's not. You have to have a diverse portfolio in order to, you know, to be successful, whether you're running for school board or fucking president.
No, it's Kamala Harris' original problem is she didn't know who she is, and it starts with literally who she is.
Yeah,
like go to 23andMe and
run away from that shit.
It kills me when I read stories and it just offhanded Kamala Harris, black candidate, black. Listen, she's half and half. But I will submit, she's culturally Indian. She's culturally South Asian. So my thinking, why I had problems with her personally, is going way back to where it seemed like she was with, we're talking about like the district attorney, San Francisco Times.
Right.
If it's Indian American group, South Asian groups, oh, she's them. But then if she was with that, African American people, she was African American. And so she never could figure out. And to me, I'm thinking, well, if Indian American population elect that slice, section of the electorate was as strong as African American was, oh man, she wouldn't even be touching anything black. She would not be black. That's my jaded view of it. So, but just on that, she don't know who she is. I mean, if she don't know who she is, how are we supposed to know?
Gotta know who you are, man.
But she's got an excellent Bay Area consultant, Ace Smith. But according to the reports, one of the problems was that they were too California, too much in California centric. They didn't know how to look at the rest of the world.
Right.
And so, in your famous consultant handbook, what does it say about hiring like family members, sisters, brothers as your like top of your campaign?
Let me thumb through it, man. Page 43, page 44, page 46. Here we go. Never, under any circumstance, hire a family member as part of your campaign consulting team. Says right here.
Yeah.
Yep. Right here, man.
Like, I agree.
Because you want
those authors.
And look, here's the reason why. It's very simple. You can't get constructive criticism from those that are closest to you. So you have to not put those that are around you as people that make decisions. Now, you can have a campaign manager that takes direction from a consultant to help you go door to door and canvass in local elections. I'm not saying anything about that, but you're not going to hire somebody who doesn't know, how to run a campaign just simply because they're a family member. I mean, you really have to be open and you have to understand that, look, you got to take constructive criticism, and that thickens your skin. It gives you the type of balls you need, so when you get in hostile environments and have to vote no or yes on something controversial, you can do it. It all starts with a campaign. Look, no one likes campaigning. No one likes asking people for money.
Yeah.
No one likes doing the bullshit behind the scenes. But also, no one likes telling the family member, "Hey, no, can't really hire you." The better question is, would you hire them? Find them a position somewhere in a cabinet down the road. Well, that happens all the fucking time. So the answer in page 53 is tell them pause.
Oh, I thought it was 46.
I'm jumping now to what you actually should say. Yeah, it goes all the way up to Z7. So Z7 says, just tell them you'll get them a job within your administration somewhere where they're not going to hurt you politically. There you go.
I will note that I was thinking we're going to have to call in the grounds crew, which is led former Dublin mayor Tim Sobrante. He is the head of our grounds crew. I don't know if I told you I made that hire.
Oh, I didn't know you made that hire.
Our podcast groundskeeper, and they were going to roll out the tarp, but the rain's
kind of
stopped. So.
It's trickling down.
But again, segue, talking about the Tri-Valley. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been talking about a lot in these podcasts is the Alameda County Board of Supervisors District 1 race. Wide open. Your boss, Scott Hagerty, he's going to retire. He's going to open up a honky-tonk in Nashville or something.
I'd love to visit that place. It'll be a fun bar.
So he's going to be out. And he got so far four people. He's still got
a day, maybe
36 hours. He can still,
we're on the clock.
He can still come out and last minute show up. Michael Bloomberg for
right.
for supervisor. Now I saw it's we got State Senator Bob Wieckowski.
Yeah.
He could be maybe called the front runner. And we have Fremont council member Vincent Bacon. And Dublin Vice Mayor Melissa Hernandez. And Mayor of Dublin, David Hobart. So I saw three of them at the Tri-Valley Democratic Club a couple weeks ago. So it was my first look. Maybe I can give you some of my first impressions. Mm-hmm. David Howard wasn't there. I actually thought, well, he kind of acts like a Republican, but I guess he's not. No.
He was. I think he changed.
He's a no.
NPP. Yeah, DTS. Decline to state.
Yeah. What they call it, no party preference.
Right.
So he's not allowed into the room. But the three of them were there, and I got to tell you, you know, I've been bagging on Bob Witkowski a lot for, a lot, maybe 7 years.
That's not
he did pretty
time.
Well. I was pretty impressed with him. I thought Vinnie Bacon was playing the Maverick role, like a John McCain of the Fremont. And Melissa Hernandez, she was sick that day, she told me, but I think I was using that as an excuse.
Right.
We'll get to that. But I thought they were doing pretty well.
All three?
All three did pretty well.
Wow.
But here was my number one thing that I noticed. Those three, none of them during that hour or so, communicated an understanding whatsoever of what Alameda County supervisors do. Like, they didn't bring it up at all. Like, Witkowski could cover it up because he knows his job, which is part of any of the job in politics, right? So he can talk like he knew, you know, what was going on, credibly. Mm-hmm. And Vinny was, he came to close to kind of touching on what they do, but he wants to do the Maverick thing, right?
Right.
Let me continue with Vinny Bacon. He said something. I was like, man, do you know what you just said? He said this on numerous occasions when he's bringing up stuff that he did that he thinks was that's a feather in his cap. Mm-hmm. But then he adds, but my Fremont City Council mates didn't go with it. Dude, you're saying that everything you bring up is a loser. You can't get anything done. All your ideas, nobody wants to follow them.
Just a quick question. Who's his consultant? Do you know?
I was going to bring that up too. I want to run something by you.
Okay.
But
I don't know. Seriously, I'm not being sarcastic. I don't know.
Fun progressive, Kelsey Presnell.
Okay.
You know her?
I don't. No.
You know Marga LaCobb in San Leandro?
I believe so. Yes, I actually do know Marga.
Much criticized from the Alameda County Central Committee Democrats.
Right,
she's very opinionated. I think Kelsey Presnell is like the young
version of her.
Like I could see that it was Marga LaCobb, you know, 80 years ago.
Does she have that disclaimer with her at all times that says, "If you marry me, you have to change your name"?
Yeah, on the real. Come on, let's talk about that.
That's the crazy shit.
And everybody listening, this is. I mean, come on, this is serious stuff. Her husband is a former San Leandro school board member, and he's Mr. like anti or Mr. Privacy. He's always coming out to cops and, you know, privacy and stuff. His name is Mike Katz - LaCobb. Her name is Marga LaCobb.
He's staring at me like you want me to say something. You're right.
So what is going on? I mean, I feel like I'm going to do a Jerry Seinfeld thing. What is the deal? What is going
Why
on?
Why did here? You change your name?
She changed. I changed my name, but she didn't change her name. Why isn't her name Marga LaCobb Katz?
Yeah, they could have went for the double hyphen. I don't know why. Or just leave it. Yeah, I don't get it, man.
So he did the favor. Is he like? Is this like some kind of man guilt? Like, you don't have to, but I'll change it. I mean,
yeah, man. That's a good question.
What is going on?
I've wondered. I don't know. I'll make a Howard Stern reference. Maybe he's like Ronnie Mund. You know,
that guy makes me laugh because he's Mr. like privacy. You know, the surveillance is coming to get us. Yet when I first started in San Leandro, 2000, even before when I was going to school and then covering it, you know, for school.
Well, he was on a council too, wasn't he?
And it was in, no, he tried.
Oh, he tried. Okay,
he tried, and then he had his San Leandro Bites. That was like that's where you get your news in San Leandro. Till I came along and said, "Get out of the way, man!
Move over, roll."
New sheriff in town, and but the thing is, public officials San Leandro would say they felt a little intimidated because he was always film every event. Everything, they would always film him. They felt like he was doing it because he wasn't totally partisan. He was part of the politics. Right. He was on the school board, and he was very involved in politics, right? And they felt like this was their sort of intimidation that everywhere you go, he's going to record everything you say, and maybe something you said can be used against you. So it's kind of ironic, funny to me, that he's the Mr. Privacy and going to be fighting police surveillance, right, all the time. So back in that time, when I come on the scene, he gives me a call, and he's quizzing me, asking me questions, who, like, thinking somebody's paying me to do this, and who, you know, what do you do this? Oh, what do you do for a living?
Are you sure he wasn't taping you?
Probably was. Probably like Alameda. He set the tone. I was like, dude, I'm just working hard, man. And I've worked hard for 10 years, only made money this year, man.
Did you ever meet him at Zocalo's? Because that was like the progressive hub.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the center of progressive liberalism in San Leandro for a long time.
I don't know what happened. It was sold? Yeah, it was sold. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the new owners came in, and it was a little bit of a lull. It lost its vibe, and now it's back better.
It's better than ever.
It's great. I was just there yesterday.
I haven't been there in years.
The Peru dark roast. Oh, mama.
So the liberals used to meet at Zocalo's, and the conservative Republicans used to meet at that watering hole down the street next to that Starbucks on MacArthur.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They have potlucks.
Yeah. That place was the Sentinels.
I'll bring the green bean casserole. Yeah, so we totally digress
man.
But my first look. The other thing, Melissa Hernandez, I'm a little disappointed.
Really?
I mean, the infrastructure is there. Mm-hmm. She just needs to hit the books, man. She did not convey an understanding, like, on the fly. They do this goofy thing over there where they handed out deck of cards, and like I got like the
three of spades.
Yeah, and if that came up, then I can ask a question. And I told her beforehand. I said, hey, if they call me, I gave her a crib notes. So I'm going to ask about, would you support the county selling their half of the Coliseum to the A's for $85 million? What's your thoughts? She had no idea what I was talking about. You know, so I didn't get to ask the question. So, I mean, it's not a fatal flaw. Mm-hmm. She just needs to hit the books.
Right.
Like, that's all. But the whole package there. But, again, I just felt like nobody was communicating any understanding whatsoever of what a county supervisor actually does, which leads me to, why isn't Sean Wilson there? See, you had an opening, man.
I know, man. That's I appreciate you bringing that back, man. Because
actually, Senator Wachowski, that is not what we do in the county. Because that's one of my fantasy football, fantasy city council players, Sheng Tao in Oakland, council member. She used to be Rebecca Kaplan's chief of staff.
Right.
During her election last year, in one of the candidate forums, somebody mentioned something, and she shot up, just did what I just said that you could have done.
She just
told us, well, actually, the city council, it was very much very like, it showed a complete understanding of the smallest parts of what actually an Oakland City Council member does and how the process is. It was masterful. You could have done that as a supervisor.
You raise a good point. I'm going to give you two takes. So the first is very simple. Being the most knowledgeable doesn't always equate into being successful. And I can cite you campaign after campaign where the most knowledgeable candidate doesn't always win. Look at Charlie Gilchrist when he ran for city council. Like, Charlie is probably the most qualified person to ever be on.
Well, I don't know. There was,
but he knows the issues
Vince
more than
Gill
anything.
Back in 1968,
yeah. He became
mayor.
But he knows
mayor.
Everything. So there's a number of examples that I can articulate where the most knowledgeable is not necessarily going to win. Because two things happen. A, people don't really care about the bullshit. That's why city council members can say, I'm going to fix the schools and all this shit, and they don't have anything to do with schools. So there's a masterful way of telling the electorate that, hey, I'm smart enough on all these other issues. I don't have to know what the fucking county does from top to bottom. And the second take is, what I'm really excited about is people are actually starting to campaign. Like, all these candidates are out there. They're knocking on doors. They're getting involved. They're getting endorsements are starting to break. You know, and there's like a couple of candidates that are getting the endorsements and a couple of them that aren't getting the endorsements. But one thing I have to say is So I got an email from one of the candidates, a couple of the candidates actually, not just one, and they made a reference saying that I talked to voters and they're so happy that for the first time in 20 years they get to elect a new county supervisor. And I'm like, really? Really? Let me see how this goes down. I've walked and talked to a number of voters.
Prompt them.
Yeah, but let me see. Let me just tell you how this goes down. So you're going to tell me that this scenario actually happened. Yeah. I'm gonna play the role of the candidate and the role of the homeowner.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Hi, I'm Sean. May I speak to Roger? I don't know if Roger's home. Yeah, maybe come back at another time. Oh, Roger, you're a 43-year-old Democrat. You look about 43. You have a wife named Mary. It's on the voter list. Who may I say is, who are you? I'm Sean Wilson. I'm candidate for District 1 Alameda County Supervisor. What? I've been waiting 24 years for this. Honey, come here. You will never believe who's at the door. Kids, get off the couch. Drop your gaming consoles. You're going to meet the next county supervisor. I cannot tell you, sir, how long I've been waiting for you to come to my door. Can you sign my wife's boob? That doesn't fucking happen, man. You know how it goes down. You knock on a door and they're like, oh, yeah, leave me your shit and go to the next fucking door. Nobody is that excited to see anybody running for shit. And if you want to spin your campaign to say that, man, come on.
Two of the four? Yeah,
they're so excited.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay.
The kids are all high-fiving each other.
Yeah. Daddy, no, finally you get your wish. It's Christmas early.
All the kids are dancing like in the Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon. Yeah.
Got a new supervisor. Do-do-do-do-do. Gonna elect you. Do-do-do-do. Come on, man. That shit does not happen, man.
Yeah, they don't even know. They're like, okay, real world, what's it like?
When you knock on the door?
He's like, who's my supervisor now?
Yeah. What are you running for again?
Yeah.
I don't really know. I'll tell you this.
You got my vote.
You got, yeah. They always say they don't vote. Yeah, then they shut the door and leave you alone. Probably one house out of 20, even. They're like, oh, they heard about you. Yeah. And you don't know if they're lying or not. But yeah, man. I was reading that. I was like, they're ecstatic? They're excited? Nobody knows what a fucking county supervisor does, including a lot of candidates. How are they that excited?
I wish that exists.
Me too. I mean, there should be that type of voter appreciation.
Yeah, I wish. I would be in.
Here we go again.
Hello. Something big's happening. Oh, we should add. We're in the Mad Oak.
Mad Oak.
Oakland.
Man.
This
After
is the
hours.
Site. This is the site of the first ever podcast.
That's right.
The pilot episode where you went to the bathroom. Everybody still talks about it.
I know, man. Jeff DeBono won't leave it alone, man.
Jeez. Jeez.
I did use my dude wipes. Oh, shit.
So, as we wrap up this, before we get out of the rain, the darkening clouds, and call in Tim Sobranti with the grounds crew.
Put the tarp on.
I swear to God, Sobranti.
I don't think he listens.
I'm gonna tell Sobranti.
I don't think he listens.
I swear to God, you better not have hired undocumented. We don't need that.
Don't need that.
I mean, we support that, but we don't want any the bad press. Oh, you got him from Home Depot? Oh, well, what do you...
I don't think he listens.
Anyway. No,
so you're good.
If we talk about baseball,
he can't listen. Football. He has too many jobs. He's like Jamaican.
He's like the John Madden of Dublin sports football.
He does a good job, but he does a lot of... He works his ass off, that guy. He was the one that was contemplating running for the supervisor's seat.
Yeah,
he would have been a phenomenal candidate.
Yeah. Until Catherine Baker showed up and he got all scared and peed his pants.
I don't think that's what happened.
He's scared of her. I think she hit him. I don't know. But hey, I got Thanksgiving. We were talking about Thanksgiving.
Man,
so
did
you didn't
about
do
that.
So my mom's a big fan of yours. I think she's going to get a poster. And she's like, oh,
flattered,
you should have invited him. Oh, he didn't want to come. Did you listen to the rest?
I would have gladly accepted the invitation to the Tavares Thanksgiving extravaganza.
And yeah,
because I want to know how your turkey and shit came out.
It was my first ever, right?
Right.
And I wasn't even done preparing. I already declared. I started gloating. I was like, man, what are these white people? All these people, all damn. Crying, oh, it's so much stress. Oh, it's so much stress. I made the turkey. Okay. I made a little herb butter and I
rubbed it,
put it under the skin, oh, the breast, you know, in there and over the top. And then I put it in the oven. I just followed the recipe.
Wait, hang on. Did you stuff it with stuffing?
No. I used the dressing. Okay. And then, you know, and then I read in the New York Times thing. It said, for the first hour, put it at 425. Tighten up the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Tighten it up the skin, and then lower it to 350 for the rest.
Yeah. And slow cook it and keep the juices in.
And then I made a chorizo dressing with leeks.
Whoa.
It was great, man. It was great. And I made cornmeal biscuits.
Damn, dude.
Homemade. And I made some kind of potato thing. I don't know, with a bunch of cheese, so it couldn't go wrong, right?
Yep.
And then had the cranberry relish.
That sounds good.
And I made something else, too. And I wasn't even done with it, and I started gloating, like I said.
Declaring yourself the champion already.
What is the problem here? What is the problem here?
It's so easy. You're brushing.
What's this? Like,
pulling off the nuts.
Oh, my God. So much stress. Oh, I'm the only one who did it. Nobody helped me.
Really?
Nobody helped me.
You just said, hey, babe, go sit on your couch with a glass of wine, and I got this covered.
I will tell you, I called the girlfriend, and I said, I am not sticking my hand in there to pull out the gizzard in the neck.
Why not?
So she got it. I ain't going to touch that. So she put in some plastic gloves, like surgeon, pulled that thing out there, and I was like, okay, now I can get into that and do that. And I was like, I've already did too much work, mother. You carved the turkey. And then when the turkey came out, man, it was hella juicy. And I still was like, dun, 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 dun.
Best Thanksgiving ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, greatest Thanksgiving debut in the history. It was like, I was like Mike Trout, rookie year.
You're like,
yeah, so and there's no downside.
The judges score in?
I have a feeling.
A 10.
Yes. Yes, an 11.
A 10 for Tavares.
I was like Dancing with the Stars.
Did you wear an apron?
I did. I wore a hat, too.
You didn't wear a hat.
Yeah, at the end, I did. I had a
real chef's hat?
Yeah, well, it's like a goofy looking.
Do you
version.
Know a real chef's hat has 100 and maybe 4 or 105? I'm sure that our researcher will tell me if I'm right or wrong. But it has 105, I think, folds in a real chef's hat.
I didn't
you know what they represent?
Spices?
No, close.
Elements?
No, that's not the table. It is for every way you can make an egg.
Really?
So there's 100 and X number of ways. I think it's 8 or 10.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
That's big. Well, mine wasn't that fancy. It was actually made out of like cheap cloth. But so I know you were telling this story. It sounded like I was going to be on everything was great. Everything was great. And then everything turned around. No.
No,
I killed it.
Killed it,
bro.
Congrats.
Even had some, hey, not a sponsor, cinnamon Coca-Cola. Pretty good.
Cinnamon Coca-Cola?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Plain?
I just came in a can.
Did you drink on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. No, oh. No, I didn't. Because it was only grandma. It was only a couple.
So you cooked for three people and you're touting victory?
Oh, yeah.
I made two biscuits, a three-pound turkey.
I cooked for 8.
Oh, okay, 8.
Maybe 10.
But you have leftovers.
Oh, I had a lot.
Here's the question.
Everyone
wants to know.
Yes, yes.
What did you do with the leftover turkey?
Oh, so it's froze it and then made, I think we still have some in the freezer, you know, chopped up. Made a turkey like quesadilla tacos, whatever.
See, I dropped my whole carcass in a big-ass pot. Slow cooked it overnight and had the best turkey soup the next 3 days.
Oh, ooh. No, I didn't want to.
So
that.
I put oranges. Little trick is I throw a few oranges inside with the stuffing inside the turkey to give it some moisture. Seems to work.
I wonder if that's
citrus.
I wonder to tie the whole podcast. I wonder if that's what happened to Eric. He threw some oranges in there because it wasn't very tight, squeaky. And we're gone.
Oh, shit.
Hey, so as we go here, I gotta tell you, you guys gotta do some favor for us, because I've been looking at the analytics and I'm not very happy with the analytics, like the system, not like the numbers, but the system. So it doesn't give me good information, but I have been noticing that you guys are not subscribing. You gotta subscribe. You subscribe, and then when I upload this, it's going to go within minutes. It's going to pop up and say, hey, this is it. Ready to rock and roll. You got to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, on Stitcher, and I don't know, whatever. the non-iPhone
Stitcher.
Yes, Stitcher. Yeah, that's
one of the places. I'm not gonna go there, man.
That's if you got like an Android.
Oh, got
but
it.
I don't know. I got an iPhone. And
me too.
So I don't know. I just go and it just pops up on podcast. But you got to do that and tell a friend. But a lot of people are listening, and we love you. And when you and I. Hey, when they, what do you how you feel when they come up to you and says, "Hey, man, I heard your podcast." Oh, hey.
I don't know if they're gonna hit me or shake my hand. Like, I don't know.
Do you but get that look, it's, nobody it's, ever gives me a bad feeling. I think they keep it to themselves.
I think so too. But look, it's all in fun, man. Look, everyone knows that I like making jokes and I love my life and I love having fun every day that I'm alive, man. And it's probably the part the reason why I don't understand when people tell me I'm depressed. I'm like, man, you should be happy as shit. Every day you're awake is better than the day you're dead, man. So, look, if I offend you, I apologize, but I actually don't care because it's just jokes and fun, and that's all it is, man.
Yeah. Unless you say hate.
No, I don't hate anything, man. Hate's too that strong of a word.
But yeah,
well,
man.
Actually.
It's a constructive criticism here.
Right.
You know, somebody got to hit the books. But in the meantime, I'm Steve Tavares.
I'm Sean Wilson.
And we'll be back for another episode of the East Bay Insiders.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.